see so many good things in so many churches. It's just a delight. And please, if you remember nothing else, be encouraged. God is doing amazing things in his church and through his church even right now. And it's just wonderful to see and hear. And I love the way you guys are doing a year of like living evangelistically. And I like that 40 Acts thing. I'm going to take a leaflet and show it to my wife because like that's so cool. I like that. I'm like, pants, why didn't I have that idea? That's such a great idea. Oh, am I allowed to say that? Sorry. Anyway, it's a really good idea. And I was like, whoa, that's really cool. I wanted to talk this morning about faith, and I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11, just the first verses. And we're just going to make our way through some of those verses. If you've got a Bible, you might like to open it. I'm told that reading the Bible is good, and the experience of my life so far is that reading the Bible is good. So I believe, you know, either you brought one with you, or there's one in the chair in front of you, fine, or you've got it on your iPhone, or your iPad, or your electronic device, or your Kindle, or what have you. That's all good. Grab it, find Hebrews chapter 11, which is somewhere in the New Testament, after the long string of letters written by Paul, and before the bit at the end that we all think is amazing but often struggle to understand. So grab Hebrews chapter 11, if you could. And I want to talk a bit about faith, because faith has this slightly mystical reputation, doesn't it? We talk about faith, and we don't quite know what we're grasping. But actually, faith is a really down-to-earth thing. It's a very practical thing. It's a very applied thing. But often when we talk about faith, we like, is it something you put in a bank? Do you accumulate faith by doing certain things that you then spend? Is it? Well, actually, it's not a mystical thing at all. And as we unpack these verses, what I hope and I believe will happen is in our hearts will rise up faith and also just confidence that faith is really simple and we can all do it, that it's not actually that complicated. You don't have to be a spiritual superhero to be a man or woman of faith. Everyone can do it. It's just a normal way of living. So let's pick it up from, oh, I don't know, verse 1. It's always a good place to start, isn't it? Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Well, I'd quite like to be commended. Hands up if you want to be commended. Everyone's thinking, is this a trick question? Is he about to tell us off? No. I want to get to heaven and I want to go. Want God to go, well done, Neil. That's okay. It's okay to want that. And the ancients, by which it means all the heroes of the Old Testament, were commended by God for their faith. So clearly, faith is kind of a bit of a key to that well done, good and faithful servant as we come before God at the end of time. And so this makes it very, very attractive. But what does that mean? Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. So when I was preparing this sermon, I dragged out all the previous sermons I'd ever done on faith, on the off chance that I might find some inspiration in previous ones. And I went through them one at a time, and I went, nah, nah, nah. Basically, I ditched all of them. And lying around on my computer, I found a document called Faith Quote. And I'm just going to read the text that was in that very short document. Here's the exact quote from the book See You Soon by Philippa Skinner. She and her husband found this bit of A4 paper in a hut in Cornwall. Hope is the ability to hear the music of the future, and faith is having the courage to dance it now. Yeah? Hope is the ability to hear the music of the future, and faith is having the courage to dance it now. Apparently that's from a guy called Peter Cusmick. I don't actually know how to spell his name, but feel free to Google him for me, but not now. What does that mean? There's something there about the seen, the unseen, the future, the now. Well, okay. How many of you ever listen to Radio 4? It's not a bad thing, it's not a good thing? Okay, Anyone here ever listen to "I'm sorry, I haven't a clue"? It's okay. It's why you're. Whether it's good or bad, I'm not saying. In "I'm sorry, I haven't a clue," they have a game they play, and in the game they play, one of the games is they start and they play a bit of music, okay, and the person who's doing it has to sing along to the music, and then they fade the music away and they have to keep singing. And a little while later, they fade the music back up to see if they're still in line with it. So I thought we'd give that a go. Okay? So we're going to play that game. Okay? We're going to play this game. And the song we're going to do is the song called "Our God" by Chris Tomlin. And hopefully the words will also appear when we do this. So this is not a memory test. This is just a singing in time test. Okay? We're going to do this together, and the reason I know we're going to do this together is that my singing voice is so bad, you're going to want to sing loudly so you don't have to hear me. Okay, so if we could start. Here we go. Hopefully the words will appear. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. It's a bit of a pause at this point. And even if God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could stand against us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Nearly did it. But you get the idea. On the computer, that song was busy playing away. And in our heads, we were hearing it. And in our heads, the hero putting up the words was hearing it. And we all sang it now, even though we couldn't hear it. That's faith. In the hearing realm. The sense of, there's this song going on. And we're singing it out now. So that's the kind of thing that Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about. It's talking about hearing and seeing something that is really going on, just like that song was really going on. And we're singing it now, even though everybody else can't hear it, because we hear it. That's faith. That's what this passage is talking about. That's what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what is visible. The whole point of that is, again, it's emphasizing this thing. The unseen, the invisible, is what really has precedence. In the Bible, when something happens before something, it has a sense of it being more important. The order matters. So when it says what we see, David, the visible, is made out of what was invisible, not seen, that tells us that the not seen as the source is what we should really be aiming to live and line ourselves up with. It's that sense of hearing the invisible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So, I mean, maybe you're extremely biblically literate. Maybe you're kind of going, Cain, Abel, half heard of them. So, brief summary of the story. Adam and Eve do something bad. They're kicked out of Eden for their own good. Eden is protected. They have two children, Cain and Abel. Okay? And here's what happens. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. So you appear to have two forms of farmer. Okay? One growing grain, the other looking after flocks. Now, and this is a bit of a trick question, what's the problem with that? What's unusual about it? Okay. What did... Sorry?
They both help each other.
You'd have thought, wouldn't you? When God first did the whole creation thing and set Adam and Eve and their descendants going, he said to them, you can eat plants and vegetables, but not animals. It's not until after the flood that he says they can eat animals. I'm looking at Phil. Phil's going, yeah, okay. Okay, we good with this so far, Phil? Sorry?
I tell you if I was able.
Exactly. Good call. Okay. I did actually check this out. As far as I can tell, this is true. So what you've actually got is you've got, and I have to make sure I get the names right, Cain working the soil, growing things that actually have immediate practical use, like food, and Cain keeping a zoo. Essentially, that's what's going on, because he's looking after animals which are not to be eaten. So you can understand there might have been a little family discussion along the lines of, my brother spends all his time looking after those sheep, cows, goats, probably given where they were, goats and sheep, which is all very well, but we've got to eat. You can see there might have been a bit of stress in the whole relationship, because one of the sons is off in kind of looking after the animals because God made them and they're wonderful and they're beautiful, and the call on them was to look after and bring order to the creation of God's. So the call on them is to order and bring blessing to and to serve, make sure that creation is in good order. That's the call that is on them. And he's living that out with the animals. His brother is living that out with the crops. It just so happens you can eat the crops. But here's the thing. The guy looking after the animals, purely because he's living in the rhythm that God told him to, gets commended. He's heard a different rhythm. He's heard that it all matters. He's heard the rhythm of the invisible heaven. He's understood that God cares about all of it, even if you can only eat some of it. And so he's busy living that out, and God commends him for it. It's an act of faith. When there is no gain to him, he's living the way God made him to live. It's an act of faith. It's very, very practical. He's out there caring for the flocks. There are only two conceivable reasons for caring for the flocks. One, it's what God told them to do, and God told them to bring order to everything, and the other one is so they can sacrifice, bring a sacrifice to God. At no point is it of any, in quotes, practical use. Don't worry, it gets more practical than this. But you see, that's why they're there as an illustration. That's what we understand from them, that they heard how God's heart beated for all of creation, and he lived it out even when it didn't quite make sense in the ways of the world. He lined himself up with a different rhythm. It's a bit like this. I don't know how many of you in your youth, which may be now or may not quite be now, ever went to a nightclub. And, you know, like you're in a nightclub, and in my youth, it was all like house music and that kind of stuff, you know, box dancing, you know, you're there. Yeah, you're looking like you've never been to a nightclub. Maybe you haven't. Anyway, you know, the music's loud, and everyone's whatever the music is, you know. And, but you're there going, I can't dance, by the way, in case you hadn't guessed. But it's like there's a hole all around you, all around them. You know, Abel's there doing his box dance because this is what the world does. We've got to eat. Sorry, the other way around. Cain's doing that. And Abel's just going, but the rhythm of God is more like a three-step waltz, which I can't do. Yeah? He's dancing to a different rhythm. He's heard some different music. And he's just gliding through, looking after his sheep. He's dancing to a different rhythm. If you want to understand the power of 40 acts, it's dancing to a different rhythm. That's the point. We're living out the invisible rhythm of God's generous heart in a world that's too busy doing the box dance to notice. It's really, that's faith. That's faith, commendable faith made real. I love Enoch, verse 4. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. I don't know if you've ever looked into Enoch. Enoch does not get a lot of verses in the Bible. He gets precisely 4. Most of which are fairly formulaic, because he's only listed in a whole list of people, and it says pretty much the same things about all of them. How long they lived when they became a dad, what happened after they became a dad, how many sons and daughters they had and how long they lived, and what their total lifespan was. That consumes 3 of the verses. It's relatively formulaic. Then, the 4th verse about Enoch. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away. I love that. I want to be Enoch. I want to be dancing so well to the rhythm of heaven, so naturally to what the unseen is doing, to what the future holds, to the grace of the Lord God, to his way, to his music. I want to be so dancing like this, even though everyone's doing something different, that one day I just dance straight into heaven and I was no more. That's Enoch. He's heard the rhythm of heaven and he's dancing to it, even when no one around him can see, even when no one remotely gets it. That's Enoch. He's doing his 40 acts. He's living naturally, evangelistically, in as much as you can do that in that time. So don't worry about the theology there, Phil, if that's okay. You see, that's faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. See, he didn't condemn the world by telling it off. It's always a tempting thing to do, isn't it? We like to, it's very easy to condemn the world by telling it off. He condemned the world simply by living godlily. Can you say that? Godlily, in the way of a godly person. He somehow saw God's thing, God's future. He heard God speak to him. He saw what God was up to. And by the simple act of living that out, living according to the invisible reality of God, he condemned the world. There is nothing that condemns people more in their hearts. There's nothing that makes people so aware of their need of God than people who live rightly. By rightly, I don't just mean
righteous.
I mean, who live truly, Galatians chapter 5, who live the gifts of the Spirit, who are so gracious that they can only be condemned by their lack of grace, who are so at peace in God that people's lack of peace irks them. See, living the life of faith, living a life where we're aligned with the rhythm of heaven, is one of the most powerful evangelistic tools we have. Because now hear me, it's only God that can do this in us, but as we do that, actually that condemns the world far more than any telling off ever will. You see, why did Cain kill Abel? He killed Abel because he was condemned by him. He looked at him and he knew that his brother's heart was better. His brother was living the better way. And he had two choices: sort his heart out or get rid of the competition. Sadly, he chose to get rid of the competition. He changed the standard. But we have the incredible privilege that we can live the standard day by day, week by week, simply living to the rhythm of the invisible. Living his way is an act of faith. A guy called John White, I think I've got about 5-10 minutes left, is that about right? Okay, you're nodding, it's good. John White, who wrote quite a lot of books about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, said, God's whole object is to teach us to walk with him, to teach us to have fellowship with him. When he puts a problem in our way, and you ever had a problem in your way? You're nodding, you don't, yeah. Thank you for being brave and putting your hand up and honest. Yeah, I've not yet met anyone who's never had a problem, so you're not confessing too much by saying you've had a problem, okay? When those problems are in our way, and we don't know what to do, God moves us to enter anew into a relationship of trust with him. You see, God is very, very keen on us walking through life in his rhythm, turning to him. And that's faith. Faith is understanding what heaven would do and doing it. So, let's be really, really practical. We've talked about the 40-day thing. Faith is when you walk into a situation and you react like Jesus would. Faith is when you walk into a situation and everything in you wants to pick a fight. Maybe you never feel like that. When you find yourself wanting to have an argument or get strident and going, God, help me to live this the way Jesus would. Help me to be generous to these people like Jesus would have. Help me to forgive these people who've ruined my day yet again. I would imagine that each of us has one person at least who have an incredible knack that's called ruining my day. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but probably you get this. I mean, most of us at some point or other for a lot of our lives, there will be one person. The person may change, but their gift is to ruin your day. Jesus had people like that. We all do. But what's the rhythm of heaven towards them? What's God saying towards them? The world says, get rid of them or get round them. God says, love them. The rhythm of heaven is that's a person handmade by Christ, precious to him. And we're invited to live a life of faith with them that's gracious to them. Of course, it's mildly impossible. If anything can be mildly impossible, maybe it's very impossible. Because the only way we can do it is with God's help. I love that bit in John John 14, where Jesus is talking in the run-up to his crucifixion, and he says this, the advocate, by which he means the Holy Spirit. Advocate's a terribly legal term, isn't it? What it meant was someone who would come alongside you, put their arm around your shoulder and stand with you through everything, and where you needed speaking up for, they would, but they might also just tell you what to say. It's that kind of a, it's not just sort of sitting at a desk telling you what poor forms to find, to sign. It's that kind of relationship. The advocate will come to you and teach you and remind you of all that I, this is Jesus speaking, all that I, Jesus, have said to you. I don't know any other way to live the rhythm of heaven without crying out to God. I don't know any other way to live a life of faith without going, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What are you doing here? Like Abel, I want to be only concerned with the things that you call me to be concerned with, even if it doesn't make sense in my brother's eyes. I want to be like Enoch, so busy living your rhythm that I don't notice if I'm suddenly in heaven. I love that. Wouldn't that be so cool? I want to be so focused on living what is the real in the invisible that somehow the world is condemned by what I bring. But I don't want to condemn the world, but I know that's what will happen. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, oh, well, let's see how well we can condemn the world by being right. That doesn't work. I said, okay. I just want to live your rhythm. And as it happens, that will condemn the world, because what else will happen? Like the writer of Hebrews, I feel, and I haven't got time to go through all the rest, as he says later, but there's a wonderful rhythm of life. Just like when we sang that song earlier, we knew it. We knew the rhythm. We knew what to do. So we ask God, he'll help us. Yeah, it may be that anger's a really big issue for you. But being right is a big deal to you. Well, God's rhythm is a bit different to that. But he longs and loves to help us live differently and to change us. I don't know what your particular issue is. I don't know what your bit where you're living according to the house music rather than the three-step waltz is. But you know. And God loves and longs to help us hear the different sound and dance differently now. Yeah. We're going to get to heaven if we trust in Jesus. And guess what? We're all going to dance right there. But I'd like to do it now. I'd like to dance now the rhythm of heaven. And that is faith. Okay, God, what are you doing here? How do I do it? Okay, God, I know I can mess up and live the world's way here. I can fight for myself rather than releasing others. I can insist on being right rather than accepting some things. I can... God, to live a life of faith, just in the big and the little, just to dance according to the rhythm of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Dad, thank you. Thank you that you invite us to discover your wonderful ways and to live them now by your power. Thank you that as we, like the ancients, turn to you and say, help me to hear your rhythm and to dance according to it. It's your delight to show us your rhythm and to give us the power and the wisdom by your Spirit to live in it. So Holy Spirit, Father, Son, come and help. We acknowledge our need of you. We know that we want to live your rhythm, but can fall short. Maybe often fall short. But would you help us to grow in living a life of faith, living the rhythm of heaven here on earth now. In Jesus' name, amen.